Well, let's begin with a word of prayer. And Jerry, since I heard you chuckle and smile, if you'll open our class in prayer, please.
Gracious Father, we're thankful for your mercy and grace to us today, and Lord, and for the opportunity to be able to gather together this morning and to be able to study and to look into how to take your precious truths and to effectively teach them to those around us and those willing to grow and to understand more of your truth, Lord. So we just pray this morning, Lord, that you would help equip Gordon and to give him the words and the thoughts necessary to convey to us, Lord, how to spread the truths of the gospel. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, let's take care of some kind of housekeeping business first. Who is going to be teaching? And we're going to have the next 2 weeks our teaching practicum, and we will meet here in this auditorium. And you'll have the use of the pulpit to hide behind like I do, or at least part of me hides behind it, and whatever else that you want to bring in. But yes, this will just be the men. So Isaac's going to be teaching.
Preferably the last.
Well, Mr. White, probably. Jeremy, none will be teaching.
This is the first time I've been aware of it. So.
Oh, really?
I'm not kind of committing at this point.
Okay, we'll talk. Okay. Jeremy Kinnamer's going to teach. Daryl? Anyone else? If you decide to teach, let me know because we need to schedule you. So I'm not going to rule Jeremy Nunn out of this, but we'll do two a week. Again, we're back in here just teaching men. I'm going to magnanimously increase the teaching time to 15 minutes, and then there will be an evaluation. In the handout, there is a sample evaluation form that the teachers can look at, but also the learners who will be grading, evaluating, encouraging you. And we want the evaluation to be very positive. But look over that, and that will give you an idea of some of the things that we are, in particular, looking for. Yes, sir.
Interruption.
You sure can.
Okay. I want to encourage you guys to consider doing this, and I'm not going to stand on your neck, although that's what I'm doing now. So I'll be nice about it. Anyway, and I'll add this, Gordon, if you accept it.
Yes, sir.
Some of them, if you want to just do 5 minutes, then fine. If you need 15, take it, 10, whatever. Part of our reason in getting together to do this was, one, to give you a good format on some teaching instruction, which Gordon has done. Second is to work as a kind of a workshop just to get you out there doing it. Now, you may never teach publicly. This is one of the reasons that we talked about it among the elders about, well, let's just keep it among ourselves and maybe it'd be a little less threatening. You may not be in an environment where God calls you to teach publicly within the church, but as men, we are to teach one another in discipleship, and it may be a one-on-one situation. And to understand the content of what you're going to teach and to be able to present it and get some practice in doing it, that's really what this is all about. And also, you never know that God may use you in certain circumstances publicly as well. And so whether it's in a work environment where you're called on to do a devotional response or statement or whatever the case might be, so we're just trying to equip and prepare you for that event, and so various discipleship events and perhaps some even teaching events. So I'm twisting your arm lightly, maybe, and just saying, I really want to encourage you to pray about it and think about if you would want to participate. This will be a safe, good learning environment, and that's really what it's about. And so I, if in any way I can encourage you to participate so we can learn from one another, you'll be rewarded for doing so, and I want to encourage you to consider.
Are you doing it?
No, the elders are not doing it. We're required to teach to be an elder. So it isn't about us. And so you hear plenty of my teaching. This is for you. And we want to encourage you to do this. You know, one of the ways in which you're going to improve in your teaching, and again, whether it's you're teaching your children, your wife, your friends, your neighbor, whoever, the more experience you have at it, experience is a great teacher. And even sometimes to be forced to do something, you know, at the last minute because you forgot to prepare for it, or perhaps an event occurs in which you just got to be able to do that. I mean, maybe you're witnessing to somebody, and here's an unbeliever, and this great softball question comes to you. It's hanging there in the room, and you have an opportunity to at least put some wood on it, you know, prayerfully hit it out of the park, but if not, advance it forward a little bit. And your training in these times will help prepare you for those events. And I assure you that God will use these kinds of circumstances and events, whatever, in your life for the kingdom of God. And so I have two questions, one for the elder in the back and one for the elder here.
I yield to the better-looking elder.
Oh, you want me to say more?
And the humble one.
How to be someone else.
So, so we had a pastor, Dexter Taylor, here years ago, and he pretty much got up, not in this format, but, you know, wanted us to do the same thing. You know, he was asking the men, the leaders, to come up and give a 10-minute sermon on Sunday night, you know. And he gave us, you know, a couple weeks to prepare. And I know the one of the guys that did it is now a full-time pastor. And that was kind of what got him started. I mean, it was the first time he'd ever got up publicly spoke. And it was kind of like where he found it. You know, that was, the Lord just kind of called him there. You know, that was his passion. And so I think it's, you know, you don't know what the Lord has for you. But for sure, it really helps you to put your thoughts together on paper in a cogent manner to where you can present something, whether it's here or it's to a coworker or, you know, to anybody else, you know, in a Bible study setting or whatever, or just for your own edification.
Right.
Two points.
I yield back to you.
What Jerry just said happened to me. When I was a forester, I said, I got to go to Africa and plant trees for Jesus. So I went to seminary to get the required one-year training that the mission board required. And I'd never been behind a pulpit in my life except the vacuum at the church. So I wonder what this is like. So I go up to the pulpit before Sunday school, and I just think, this is kind of cool. What if we put some coffee in this? And the head deacon walks in and says, son, pastor's going to be gone 2 weeks. Now you want to preach? And some voice behind me said, okay. It was me. What did I do? I'm a forager. I'm more comfortable in the woods with moose. And I said, okay, I guess God wants me to try this. And I said, well, people didn't leave in the middle of a sermon. And it just, like, well, Lord, you get all the glory, because I literally was a forester in the backwoods of Maine. So I just encourage you, man, make yourself available to God. But the point I was going to bring up earlier, if when you're teaching, it might help you to come up with, you know, you make your own context. So rather than saying, well, I'm teaching, you know, 20 guys in a church sanctuary, you might say, well,
I'm teaching at a lunchtime brown bag devotional at work, or it's Christmas time and my cousin John asked me this question and I'm answering him. So you might find it helpful to say, hey, here's a situation that I'm presenting this 5 or 10 or 15 minute lesson in. So it's not cold turkey. And that might help you at Christmas time or 2 weeks from now when somebody actually does ask you to give a devotional at the Christmas party.
I guess it was Wednesday morning. I woke up at 2 o'clock or so. I don't recall what awakened me. But I began thinking about a devotional that Andy, he didn't actually ask for a devotional, but he asked if I would, and he's asking other men as well, to kind of serve as the moderator for our Wednesday evening prayer services. And I had found the passage, and I thought I would just talk about the passage a little bit. And so I was going over that in my mind since I was awake. And it occurred to me that this, not to be academic about it, but that this would also be a good way to test myself on putting this schematic into practice, the hook. So I did that. And for several of the men who were there last week, and I've got a few more, I put the devotional into that format. And that was 5 minutes. So that could be helpful as an example. And I've got a couple of more if you would like those.
It is helpful.
Good. Another thought has occurred to me, and I have just forgotten to say it till now. All writers are teachers. If you are a writer, and if you would like to write out your lesson and then read it to the class, consider doing that as well. And that can be a few minutes. It can be 5 minutes, it can be 10, or it can be 15. Jonathan Edwards read his sermons. So you can do that if you would like to. Jeremy.
So, is it just going to be one Sunday that different men are going to do this, or are we going to extend that?
We have at least the next two Sundays back in this auditorium. And so far at this point, we have 4 men, and I'm still including you, we have 4 men who will be teaching. Originally, we had looked at 10-minute sessions, and it's just for next week, and the point is to practice. This is on-job training for you in front of a group of learners who will be evaluating you. So every aspect is education. It's learning. It's to get feedback. It's to actually do it. And primarily, Jeremy, and you've taught, and you're a very good teacher. We're looking at using a particular teaching format.
And I'm comfortable with the format. Will we be responsible for choosing our subject matter?
Yes. Yes. All of the other gentlemen have their passage, and they've been working on it, and they've been applying different aspects of this this teaching pattern in it. Well, let's back up again. And just as a reminder, one of our key verses for this study has been 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. In the ESV, instead of adequate, the word that is used there is competent. In the KJV, the word that is used is perfect. So I came up with some logic. If it is God's will that we are growing spiritually, and since we learn of God primarily in His written word, then understanding and applying His word to our lives is of the first importance. Number two, if we as teachers are equipped, adequately equipped, competent to teach His Word. And since our students, the learners, must also understand and apply God's Word to their lives in order to realize spiritual results, then the effectiveness of our teaching is first measured by its impact on us. Us, the teacher. And number three, if God the Holy Spirit is, and He is, our true teacher, and since His goal is ever to show forth Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then our teaching must be Bible-based, Christ-centered, and Holy Spirit-led. So this is an encouragement and a reminder of why we are here. We went on in the first lesson to talk about the gift of teaching. Not everyone has the gift of teaching, but just as not everyone necessarily has the gift of giving, there will be times, there will be instances where you will need, as Wayne shared earlier, to teach. It could be very informal, but this will put a structure in your head. But all of this is to encourage, because someplace down the line, you may or may not. I'm still using this structure after 40 years. I like the structure. It's helpful to me, and I'm hoping that it's going to be helpful to you as well. Well, did somebody have a question? From last week, we talked about the hook. The hook is the lesson introduction. The hook creates interest, sets a goal, and leads naturally into the Bible passage. The hook or the introduction will often, again, as Wayne shared last week, will create some sort of tension that needs to be resolved. You want to find something that is relevant to your class, that is going to catch their interest, but also want them to learn more so they can resolve that tension. The book is the Bible teaching. The passage must be covered sufficiently, clearly, interestingly, and expositionally. And Wayne did a great job of giving us an illustration from Nehemiah. And I'm sure somebody's going to rat me out, so I'll just confess. I couldn't remember where Nehemiah was, and I'm thinking, Dwayne, don't look at
it.
Table of contents. Well, let's move on. I want to save some time for Dr. Alex in here. On page 7, the look is the personal application. Lesson 4, lesson plan number 2, page 7. The look is the personal application. Now, again, the teacher is going to be applying this to himself or herself first, because if we want spiritual results, those spiritual results should begin with the teacher. The look is the time for discovering relevant personal meaning from the point of the Bible passage, the big idea of the Bible teaching. Our aim in the look is that the learner finds all wisdom and spiritual understanding from the Scripture. The question to be answered by the class in the look is essentially, what does this mean to me? What does the truth of this Bible passage mean to me? What should I be thinking about doing because of what God the Holy Spirit has enlightened me, illuminated from this passage that fits my life? So the teacher then guides the learner to consider real life personal applications that, number one, come directly from the Word of God. Number two, are relevant to the class's needs. Relevant, which means that you have to have a handle on your class's needs. I had mentioned earlier that there are books on age group characteristics. You'll teach a 10-year-old child much differently than a 20-year-old young person. So you kind of have to know your people. So you'll be teaching men, or you'll be thinking of another group that you're teaching when you're actually up here for the practicum. But think about the needs of the men with whom you are. There are certainly areas of like-mindedness, of concern and strength. So the teacher guides the learner to consider real-life personal applications that come directly from the Word of God, are relevant to the class's needs. And number three, it allows the class members to explore personal answers to their personal needs as found in the Bible passage. Allows the class to explore personal answers, what it means to me personally, because I have this personal need in my life. Okay, next is the took. The took is the actual personal response. Now, this is a response that you may not see in class. You may, as a teacher, want to follow up with the individual or with the class, especially if you've given them an assignment. Based on what this scripture says, and based upon what this scripture means, what are you going to do about it? As a teacher, you may make an assignment, write something, or prepare something, or witness to someone, and then you follow up. Well, how did it go? Now, many times you'll want to do that one-to-one rather than in class. But in the took, you're preparing for that personal action, or in the look, you prepare for the personal action. The took is up to you as the teacher to respond personally, but also to the learners in the class to respond personally. The took is the call to personal action based on the teaching of the Bible lesson. Without opening the door for the Holy Spirit to put the Bible truth into practice in each learner's life, we teachers will fall short of our goal of teaching for spiritual results. The personal response that we're preparing for should be flexible enough to the needs of the entire class, yet personal enough to reach into each individual heart and be fine-tuned, tailored by the individual to his or her need to put into practice. And again, my note, you may not see an immediate result to this step and may wish to plan for a follow-up, either in class or personally. So, 3 points. The took, which is the true take-home from the lesson, should be prepared to accomplish 3 things. To, number one, fulfill the lesson's aim. Number two, be both reasonable and reachable. Reasonable and reachable. And number three, to allow for evaluation by both the learner and by the teacher. Fulfill the lesson aim, be both reasonable and reachable, and to allow for evaluation. Have you accomplished what you set out to do? Do you see changes or the beginnings of changes or something new in the life of the learner because of what the scripture said to them? Well, Andy is going to come up and he's going to take a very close look at the personal response, and then I'll come back for just a couple of things. I'll hand this out.
Okay. My part is a short thing on application, and I got the date wrong. I like to date everything, but if I do it ahead of time, sometimes I forget to put the application date on there, so it's 3/19. Churches are funny, and you can fill in the blanks. Rick Warren is known for what?
Purpose-driven
church. The church I got saved in up in Maine, United Baptist Church, just spent $10,000 for some consultants from California to show them what the purpose of the church is. And I'm like, I would have told them Matthew 28 for $5,000.
Yeah. They lost their money.
And it's it's incredible to see how this once solid Bible-believing church, where the pastor that I was under, if you went out to the mission field, they would say, well, did you sit under Andy Sporer's teaching? Well, yes, we did. You don't have to go to seminary. We waived that requirement. Now the church has gotten rid of Sunday school. They've shown the movie Frosty and some other ones to reach out to the community because they want to grow. They have ladies teaching, ladies in leadership. And I'm thinking, what happened to you? You listen to the people from California. And I heard a professor once say, might have been J. Vernon McGee, he said, when God made the earth, he tilted it, and all the fruits and nuts went to California. Times Free Press did some articles about a drive-through church where you could drive through and get prayer requests. And recently they've got the Comfort Food Church where they're preparing macaroni and cheese. So you're comforted as you go to hell. Even our church is funny. We are a Bible blank church. What would you fill in there? Begins with a K.
Knowledge.
Yeah. We're a Bible knowledge driven church. This church is solid in Bible. Ephesians 4, the purpose of the pastor teachers are to what? To grow into maturity. Somebody besides Jeremy K. Four-letter word. Begins with a B. Ends with a Y. The body. The pastor's teachers are not to do all the work of the ministry, but they're to grow the members to unity of faith, to maturity, so we're not easily shaken. If the church in Maine was preaching the Bible and teaching people and getting them to grow by doing, the members would say, we're not going to show Disney movies to draw people in. We're going to preach the Bible. Another thing I got from seminary was it's hard to stay in the center of biblical tension, and it's easy to get out of balance. We're all designed for that. But to really focus and say, how do we stay centered? Easy to go to an extreme. Here's some thoughts. Well, before I get in there, I want to show you this. And this is the gist of the application part of teaching. You've got somebody like Gordon, Mary, me right now, teaching or preaching, and it's all this wonderful water coming down. And it goes into a stream. And there's no outlet here. What do you call that?
Pond?
No. A stinking swamp.
It stinks.
Yeah. But to have sweet-smelling water, whatever that is, happy frog, the water's got to flow out. It's the same way with whatever Gordon or Wayne, your own Bible study. If you just take it in and take it in, you're going to be a big-headed, stinking Christian. Because, as the next part says, knowledge puffs up, love builds up. If you know anybody that's gone through Bible college and hasn't done anything with it, they're not fun to be around because they're so full of knowledge, but they're not fresh. They're not full of life. So application is getting your students to do something with the wonderful word you're giving to them. 1 Corinthians 8:1 is the passage. Number two, in 2 Timothy 3:7, people were rebuked for always learning, but never be able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. You know, people have sat in church their whole lives and they go off to a cult. A guy I worked with up in that church in Maine is now a Jehovah's Witness. He used to be a fiery evangelist. I'm thinking, what happened? Number three, from James, be ye hearers and what of the word? Doers. If God gives you something, do something with it. I remember doing discipleship on the back of a moving truck, sitting on moving blankets with a guy that's now my best friend in South Carolina. You know, I got three or four best friends, they're scattered. And he said, Andy, because you sat down with a cup of coffee and shared something that you were learning with me, he goes, I went to seminary and I've been a missionary with Southern Baptist Convention all over the world. All because I said, well, I learned something. Let's talk about it. When I went to seminary, I remember sitting in Sunday school and a teacher said, well, you're in seminary. You tell us. And I'm like, the fact that I'm paying tuition is evidence of my ignorance. You know, it's like, I don't know anything. But that was wrong because I did know something. You know, I could tell Gordon right now where Nehemiah is. Old Testament. I remember sitting in seminary and getting excited. I told the guy next to me, did you know Luke wrote the book of Acts? And he's like, shut up. You look stupid. I didn't know anything. But when I started using what little I did learn, I started to grow. Number four. Philippians, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We need to do something with our salvation. Number five, Luther did not hold what book in high esteem?
James.
Because it conflated, that's for you, Pastor, faith and works. He said, no. In his context, it was all justification by faith. The just shall be saved. He had a hard time with that right straw epistle, is another old commentator would say. Okay. However, Rich Mullins nailed his 28 stanzas and a couple of choruses to the CCM door and refuted the head reformer stance because we all know that. Anybody?
Faith
without works is like a screen door on a submarine. YouTube it. It's a catchy song from the good old days. We're down at the bottom. I would put forth, you always have to have an application so that your students and you will do some things. We have a ministry triangle. What's your ministry? You should be thinking about that always. What is my ministry? And you should be thinking, huh? What's this ministry triangle? This is a ministry triangle here. Could be Isaac is praying. Who does Isaac, or to whom does Isaac pray? To God, okay? This is basic. To God. Okay? He prays to God. No. You got another baby coming, okay? You drive old vehicles,
maybe? Don't stress me out, I need to get the
tip. He said, God, I need money. Is God going to drop a Brinks in your parking lot? No. God doesn't usually answer prayers directly. He uses means. Okay, Isaac, you're done praying. Jeremy K. is praying. To God. God touches Steve's heart. And Steve's like, I just have a burden. And he says, Jeremy, God laid it on my heart to give you a new guitar thing. I mean, God works in small things first. Somebody's praying to God. God impresses it on people's hearts to do something with it. You've all had that experience, right? You're like, I got to call somebody, or you know, I got to put some money in an envelope and put somebody's name on it, or I got an extra car that my mom gave me. Oh, I was praying for it.
you might call somebody up. You say, just want to let you know, you mean a lot to me. You need my number? Anybody need my number? But God uses you to touch people's lives.
It's practice. Okay, that's what you guys are going to do when you get out there and teach. You're going to learn how to do it. One of the first times I taught in grad school, my professor, Dr. Ralph Griffin, said, Andy, I don't think you know what you're talking about, boy. I think you better shut up and sit down. I said, you're right, Doc. I have no idea what I'm doing. He got up and said, I think I need to tell you men what I'm looking for. I ended up working for the guy. I loved him. Because he corrected me in love. It was a safe place. This is a safe place. I've told people that. You come here, this is a safe place. There's nobody perfect here. When you get up to practice teaching, that's what it is. It's practice. It's not perfection. But if you don't start, you'll never get better. 7 and 8. That's Dwayne Wade. Took it from the scripture. Get knocked down 7 times. Get up 8. Okay. Gordon, do you teach perfectly?
No.
But you evaluate what you did, what you applied to get better. We grow in faith through application, through knowledge, ability, and we get a servant's heart. Quit sitting in the pew. Do something with this wonderful knowledge we have. Apply it. I wrote my family a very tough, straightforward, evangelistic email. They're all dispersed. But I took things that I learned from here. I'm thinking, I got to share this with them one more time because we're all getting old. You know, you're going to die soon. Have you considered this and this and this? I don't know what their response will be ultimately, but I know I did something. I applied what I had learned to a situation. Are you obedient when God's Spirit says do something? If you don't, I read Jonah for my devotions yesterday. It's near Nehemiah. I picked it because it was short, because I didn't have a lot of time. You know, it's like if I'm going to read Isaiah, I got to have some time. But I thought, I don't want to be Jonah. God told him to do something. And he didn't do it. God's telling you to do something. If we're teaching, we have to encourage our students to do something with what they learned, or they're going to become stinky swamp Christians. You'll have joy in the service of the Lord. That means you're doing something. How many of you are gifted preachers? We got one. I'm not. You know, you've heard me. Our service is all different. We need people to greet. We need people to bring meals to somebody that's sick. We need older women to come around the younger women and say, let me show you how to be a good mommy, a good wife, a good whatever. Same with men. We got John Wayne right here. How old are you? 15, 14?
14.
Who's going to build into his life to come around him and say, hey, this is what it's all about? It's serving. It's applying what we've learned. Find your unique area of giftedness, and you only can do that through practice and exploration. Very few people are called into ministry from 5 years old and they know what they're going to be doing. Samuel? Do you know what GPC means? Farmer's out in the field and he sees the clouds and they GPC. He says, that's a word from God. Go preach Christ. Pastor says, how can I argue with God writing in the clouds? Lets the guy preach, takes the church from 200 down to 50 in 3 Sundays. He stinks. Pastor comes up to him and says, you know, son or brother or whatever, maybe that meant go plant corn. But how would the guy know if he didn't try? Say yes to God, be faithful in small things. Do you guys have any fill in the blanks of why you should have application? Why is application important? Okay. Just some thoughts, so it's all yours, Gordon.
Can you get wired up here again?
And that was excellent. That was incredible. Thank you. Thank you. Now, the two takeaways I got from it, well, maybe more than two, but first, Andy wants us to be happy frogs. And second, during the teacher practicum, do not get up and say, sit down, son, and shut up. At least not now. No, that was excellent. Thank you. Well, I had mentioned earlier, I'll repeat this, that I've got the Creative Bible Teaching books, and I've created a little kind of a bookmark in here, and I've listed the page numbers and the subjects that I am encouraging the teachers who will be teaching to read, and if you will take it and then pass it on to each other. We've increased the time to 15 minutes, but as Wayne said, if anybody wants to teach, even for a short period of time, let me know, and we will allow that to happen. We'll make that happen. For those who will be observing, again, I'll have a handout to give to everybody. You've got a copy of the evaluation form. Come prepared to give a positive review and evaluation of each lesson. Brief open evaluation after each lesson. So approximately a 15-minute lesson for our teachers. We'll hand the sheets to them, but we'll have a short period of time that you can make positive comments. And the teacher may want to say a few things as well. We've only got a couple of minutes, but does anybody have any questions? Not only on what Andy talked about on application, the look and the took, but anything else that we have talked about in this lesson structure. Do you have any questions? And call me, see me, write me if you have any questions. But are there any right now, particularly about your Bible passage that you're working on? We'll be here next week, and we'll be teaching, we'll be learning, we'll be evaluating, all for the glory of God. I love you guys. Thanks for coming. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for who he is and what he's done for us and continues to do for our lives, for he ever liveth to make intercession for us. We thank you for your word, which tells us of Christ Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, who shows us Christ Jesus. And for each man in this class, I pray that you would give them strength and courage, and encourage them to find their spiritual gifts, to develop those spiritual gifts. And for those who will be teaching, give them strength and guidance. Bless this time for your purposes in this body and in this community, as we teach the word and look for spiritual results. And I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.